Welcome back to the Hearts Unleashed podcast. We're turning dreamers into doers. If you're ready to open your heart and take inspired action on your dreams, you are in the perfect place with wonderful people. Here's your host, dreamer, educator, and adventurer, Abigail Gazda.
All right. Welcome to the Hearts Unleashed podcast, where we are turning dreamers into doers. I am very excited. This is an interestingly long overdue interview with Greg Krueger, the founder of the very transformational Forgotten Truth Coaching. Forgotten Truth Coaching is a component of Cavella Breathwork. It guides people to embrace their authentic selves to overcome unconscious patterns that hold them back from living a more fulfilling life. In today's world, many people find themselves trapped within repetitive cycles, repetitive emotional states, and a prison of continuous stress without realizing they are confined by their own neurology, blind spots, and limiting beliefs. Greg emphasizes the power of embarking on a journey of self-discovery to break free from the internal barriers to expansion and fulfillment by illuminating a path to recognizing and transforming unconscious self-limiting beliefs. The uniqueness of Craig's coaching practice is in the outcome of his clients becoming aware that they are their own best coach. I love that belief. I believe in people knowing like they have the answers within them, and our job as a coach is to help them access that inner truth. And so he trains these principles of focusing on enhancing awareness, unlocking the truth of vulnerability, and installing accountable measures through practicing daily success habits and exercise, ultimately assisting people to rediscover their power in creating their own lives. The Forgotten Truth Coaching Program fosters an environment of vulnerability, honesty, empowered communication, and collaboration to guide people to step into their truth. Greg, welcome. You know, I love reading the bio, the introduction that people send, but I also love doing a personal introduction. And I met you years ago during the pandemic, specifically virtually, we were introduced, and I've been able to watch you online sort of step into yourself, step into the coach that you are. And I know that you've been doing this work for a long time, but you're sort of stepping out on social media to say, hey, here I am. This is the work that I do. This is what I provide in the world. How did you get into coaching?
I guess the real way I got into coaching was I was sitting getting tattooed by a friend of mine at the time, and he was telling me how he just hired a life coach. I'd never heard of a life coach before, and this was like somewhere around 12 years ago, maybe. It was my mid-30s, and he's like, I think you should meet him. He's putting together a coaching. He's going to coach me through these life things and all this different stuff. And he's like, and I paid $10,000 for him. And I was like, wow, what? Like, who is this? And what are you talking about? And he said, I think you should meet him because he's talking about putting together a program to coach people to become coaches. And he said, you are that guy who I just see people reaching out to when they need support and need encouragement. And I think you should check him out. For whatever reason, I had the finances at the time. And for whatever reason, I said, okay, well, I'll meet him. And almost as soon as I started talking to him, Dustin Weiss was his name, and rest in peace, Dustin. As soon as I was on the phone with him and meeting him, everything about me said yes to do it. And I started working with him right away. And he introduced me to neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And I actually went and did my first of two extensive trainings with Dr. Richard Bandler, one of the two co-founders of NLP. And I just got lit up. It was everything I was looking for, in the sense that it gave me a way to understand things about myself and to start exploring patterns and programs, understanding how the neurology affects our outcomes, our behaviors, our habits, our program, and how we just have these programs, understanding how language does the same. And I just got lit on fire, and I just started consuming and consuming and consuming. But most of all, what I loved about it was it gave me one of the first opportunities for one of multiple modalities that I could focus on that can transcend religious and spiritual beliefs. Because regardless of what, I think that's one of the biggest aspects that limit us. And when I, you know, growing up with a father who was very, very strict and very rigid in all of his beliefs and unable to be swayed and strong in his Christianity, and I give him kudos for that, but unable to see other points of views because everything seems like it's anti-religion or anti his beliefs. And this just gave me a way to really focus on something that could transcend those boundaries of people.
I really love that. And having grown up raised religious and in a religion as well, nowadays I really identify as like spiritually fluid, because I could talk about God and Jesus, and I can talk about spirit and universe, and I can talk about, you know, I so appreciate the trend, let's say, that people crave spirituality, spiritual connection, a connection to the divine and the divinity within them. And that, you know, through the generations, religion has, in my experience, often fallen short of being able to provide that, or caused hurt and harm for people that turn them away from accessing, again, divinity in any sense. And so, one, I just appreciate that specific share, and that you use a variety of modalities to offer people access to the divine or to their spiritual nature, or like, as you mentioned before, or as your introduction mentioned, like the access to the power within, and giving, having people access that and then develop that and lead, create their life with it. I also love what you said, because I'd love to address it right away, is like, you said, everything within me said yes. As you began this journey and you were introduced to coaching and NLP and all of this, what would you say to someone who, you said something, I had the funds available, and I thought that that was just so perfect that you said it that way, because there are people for whom they're in the inquiry and they come across this energetic yes, they find something that's aligned for them, and they allow money, time, relationships, career, the busyness of life, what they're already doing, what they do or don't have available to them, they allow these obstacles to get in the way of following that energetic, like soul and activating yes. What would you say to those folks who are on that cusp?
I would say a couple things, and let me see if I can catch this all in one breath here. We're not our body. Our body is 37.2 trillion living cells. So I don't even know what a billion looks like, let alone 37 trillion, but there's 37 trillion units of individual living consciousness that are born, they fight, they multiply, they die, right? So we're not our body, which is also mostly water and empty space, which is fascinating to me. We're also not our brain, which is just a computer in a dark room. But we are the awareness within the body. And I think what happens is that the brain, the sole purpose of the brain is survival. And survival is in the familiar. And so if we're depressed for 2 years and our heart, our soul, our truth, who we are is calling out, tomorrow I'm going to get up, I'm going to do these things, I'm going to take these new approaches. And we have such a heartfelt desire to go in this direction. And we wake up in the morning and we have the thought, man, I didn't sleep well. We start hearing thoughts. We start getting feelings from the body. And those feelings and thoughts are keeping us in the same space. And the next thing we know, it's the afternoon. And we're like, okay, this afternoon. Okay, this evening. Okay, tomorrow. And 2 years becomes three. And the brain doesn't know the difference between, isn't focused on thriving. It's focused on surviving. So it's going to try to feed you everything that kept you where you were. Because for the past 2 years, the depression doesn't matter. You woke up today. You're alive. So let's rinse and repeat that. And so it's always going to look to stay in the familiar. So most people will notice they get this, like this, fuck yes, I'm going towards this thing. I'm really interested. And then 15 minutes later or 20 minutes later or 30 minutes later, they start contemplating, well, maybe not. Or what about this? Or what about this? And so the brain is just going to continuously give us information to reflect on from what we've experienced in the past. And that's what's going to keep us the same. The other aspect is when it comes to the money, I have cashed out retirement. When my money was at the lowest, I've cashed out retirement to hire coaches as a coach, yeah, right? To help me expand through what I'm going through. And even though I didn't have that 10 grand in the bank, I had access to get it somehow. Even if it was cashing out retirement and paying a little bit of a penalty, the resources were available. And oftentimes for most people, they are just the act of paying and investing in themselves is a paradigm shift. It is a program breaker, because most people don't utilize their money for things that they say, well, I'm investing myself. I'm going to buy a house, or I'm going to buy a car, or I'm going to pay for groceries. And those things are all fine and good. But what about investing in your own life? The purpose of your life has to have something to do with you and your expansion. It just has to. So most people, when they give that money over, it is one of the biggest patterns to break and one of the biggest successes they can have in hiring a coach.
I couldn't agree more. And I've witnessed it year after year, month after month of people. That's the biggest investment they've ever made, quote unquote, in themselves, right? That's what we're talking about, is like, it's not as tangible as a house or the groceries or a car or clothing or whatever. It's basically like betting on yourself. I've had so many people who, you know, struggle with that getting to the point where they actually make that investment, you know, questioning, is this going to work for me? You know, something that they're basically stretching that or building that muscle of relying on themselves, trusting in themselves, betting on themselves, investing in themselves. And it's really beautiful to watch people blossom after that, because it's an energetic and physical of money deposit, right? But it's an energetic commitment to your potential, essentially, because it's so edgeless in the directions that people can go, starting from the healing and restoration all the way to, you know, transformation and launching and taking off into different directions in life. I really love that. What is surprisingly, I don't have a lot of coaches on the podcast that we explicitly talk about coaching. What has it been like? What is the experience like to work with people and watch them take their quantum leaps towards their potential?
Oh man, it's the most rewarding thing ever, but it's also my own expansion that happens every time they expand. Mm-hmm. So it's very, you know, there's so many on my social media, I really work to explain woo-woo things in ways that don't feel woo-woo, that feel so people can receive. And one of those things is that the world is a mirror to us. And it is so synchronistic. The clients that I have and what they're going through are so often have relevance to things that maybe I thought I had transcended or gotten through, or things that were a blind spot to me. And they're showing me that there's an area of opportunity for me. And one of the things I fully believe in, especially after a grandmother medicine journey a month ago, is that God or my higher self, something beyond me, speaks through me. So I know this is just audio recording, but speaks through me, being out, the words coming out of my mouth, but that's actually to me. So God speaks through me to me. And I've just found so much synchronicity in not just clients, but people I interact with. And it's so rewarding to be able to allow knowledge, information, and ideas to flow through me to these people. And then when it's especially just an emotional or energetic feeling of importance, I always reflect and ask myself, was that for me? Because what's the closest voice to you? There's no closer voice than the one that comes out of the body that you're in. So why can't that be for you? But that's kind of off the topic there. I love seeing people find a path that reminds me of me finding mine. I think the whole purpose of calling my coaching Forgotten Truth is because the forgotten truth is that you're the answer, right? That everything you need is inside of you. And there's so much beauty in the physiology and neurology in which our bodies operate that show us the power that we have. I love seeing people crack open, man. It makes me cry with them. It's just all the feels. I never found anything more satisfying.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think there's two things I wanted to kind of highlight about what you said. To me, through me, like my greatest task I've noticed in my spiritual journey, specifically like coaching and leading in a spiritual fashion, is step out of the way of being a channel for spirit to speak and to deliver. And that I relate to what you're saying about translating transformation, translating the woo-woo stuff into a little bit more of a tangible language and analogies and ways to relate and receive. And so thank you for sharing that, because I think here we're able to do that and then stretch it a little bit further, right? Like social media is an interesting place because there's all sorts of corners of that internet and there's the extra woo-woo and then all the other side of the 3D and somewhere in the middle. And at least here on the Hearts Unleashed podcast, we have people with open ears and open hearts who are ready to receive these communications. And I really love that, because it's so motivating to show up week after week for these types of conversations. And then I really wanted to touch on like the journey of a coach as a coach, because that so many of your own personal breakthroughs lie within your clients' breakthroughs. So hearing yourself coach them, you're coaching some part of yourself and some part of yourself on the journey. And that I think that a common misconception is as if coaches, you know, we have it all figured out, or like if it looks successful online, then that means we've broken through every barrier we'll ever face. But ultimately, that some of our wounding, the higher we go, the deeper we heal. And that, you know, as people begin this journey, especially within the first, like, you know, so many months or so many years, it's like, I healed this already. Why am I facing this man wound, or the woman wound, or the father wound, or the, you know, the God wound? And like, so it's like, I fixed this already. When is this point? When am I done? When am I fully enlightened and healed? What do you have to say about that? Because I'm sure you have plenty of insight for us.
I laugh because I remember a younger versions of me that would be like, have a breakthrough and be like, oh, now I fucking got it. And then something would happen. I'd be like, oh, okay. Now I have it. And it would just continually compound. But I think there's a natural growth of people. Let's say somebody listening here picks up on a concept that we talk about and they're like, oh, that really resonates with me. And you hear this concept and you own it so much as maybe you read about it and you learn about it, and conceptually you understand what's being talked about. And I think most people confuse or get lost or muddied in the space that a conceptual understanding is transformation. And so we have that concept and we regurgitate it and we start telling it to other people, and we confuse the thought of, again, that concept means I've changed. And then what happens is we actually face the thing that gives us the opportunity to apply the concept, and we don't. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and so everything, when we look at the body and neurology, we're good at what we practice. I'll give you a little side story. I remember I started meditating, and I would meditate and I would get these concepts. And one of the biggest areas or programs that's in my family tree that I was trying to shatter is anger and yelling. And I would have some situation happen and I would revert to an old behavior, and I would beat myself up and I would be so upset with myself for yelling or doing that thing, and be like, you know better. Come on, you've just learned this. You understand. And what I realized was I learned to meditate and calm myself in a calm environment. And so my practice was in a calm space. And then I would have escalated situations in life where I had never practiced taking that behavior into an escalated space, and it would break down. And I learned so much from that. I learned that aspect of, we have to have the practice. Luckily, I had a very abusive relationship that taught me how to practice in the face of chaos. Which then made everything, all the rest of my life, really a lot easier. But so I think that's the biggest thing, is we've got to practice. We've got to practice to get good at it. And that's called, you know, and the more we practice it, more we practice a behavior, the more it becomes invisible. And once it's invisible to our consciousness, like walking, you don't think about the balance it requires to walk, you just walk. Once it becomes invisible, then it's embodied, then it's part of you. And until it's there, then we have to consciously put the effort to practice and to be aware of triggers and different aspects that are bringing up old things. Yeah.
I love all about what you just shared. Like, and the other side of the same coin of, you were practicing in calm and peace, and then it wasn't applying to the elevated situations. So many of us have practiced in elevated situations. I think of like how many of us come from actively dysfunctional homes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, starting a 12-step program and being able to practice certain things in an actual safe environment helped me in many cases, like whether it be coaching or step work or spiritual guidance, that practicing in a safe environment strengthen my muscles, my boundaries, my communication skills to go back into escalated situations. So I just love like the diversity of all of this. And then the way you spoke about embodiment, just like, yes, all the way. And then there was a question that was coming through, which I hope it doesn't sound redundant, because I felt like you answered it without me asking, but I want to explicitly ask, like, for anybody at any level, what would it look like for us to take our transformation to the next level? I don't know. That's the question that wants to come through. I don't have any, it's just left field, but.
Man. So how do we continue to evolve? Well, we never get there.
Yeah. Thank you.
So all that younger versions that was like, okay, I figured it out now. Okay. I figured it out now. And it finally was like, okay, I'm never going to fucking get there. Let's just keep going.
Yes.
I think what I'm finding is that I am a big, big, big dive deep into neurology and programs, understanding that the body is the library of our ancestors. All our gifts and all of our traumas, they're pre-programmed in the body, right? And then you have the brain. So your body is a record of the past. And then you have a brain, which is a record of your past also, but it's a record of the past of this experience.
Yeah. Right?
And then we take all that data from the body and the brain, we put it together and we shove it into our kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so you, when you look, what I teach my clients to do is look at the things in their parents that really bug the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And then that's probably within them. You know, whatever you're dealing with on the deepest level, you probably can find it on one of the sides of your family tree. But the thing about that is it's beautifully freeing in the sense that it's not you. So that anger that I never wanted to have that I saw coming out of my dad and I saw coming out of his side of the family was when it showed up and I was screaming at myself. I never wanted that. But I came to realize it's in this body. And the beautiful thing is there's a finite amount of programs. I think there's a finite amount of trauma and there's a finite amount of growth that we have to get through pain. And once we start to just consciously go after these things and address them, then what it looks like is the ability to expand through happiness and peace. And so I think what does it look like to continue to expand is just to continue to broaden our awareness, to continue to realize, you know, my goal as a coach is the opposite of most businesses. I want a renewal of 0%.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I teach my clients, you are the answer. So if we're done with our intensive package and you're anything, maybe you want just once a month and we're just, you know, because you still see value, that's great. But if after that time frame you're relying on me, then I've drastically, massively failed my job. I want to teach them how to command themselves, but also encourage them to continue to hire other coaches. Why? Because I'm a perspective of one. Now, most of the things, everything that I teach is other people's stuff. It's everything that I've been taught that's come from somewhere else. And I've just taken what I have and put it into my voice, but I'm still just a perspective of one. And so my then goal and belief is to buy what I sell. So every year I want to try to do at least one coaching package with somebody or something like go to Dr. Joe Dispenza's week-long advanced retreat or something big like that, which allows me to continue to get different perspectives, maybe on the exact same topics that I teach, but I think all information exists. It is what makes it new is when it comes through our individual unique voices. And so I want to continue. So to me, growth is to continue to be, to say, I am open to receive. I'm open to expand. I do not know it all. And I'm open to more. And so to continue to find other perspectives and just digest those.
I love it. I love it. And I think, you know, I'm very present and I often like, I love to bring it into people's awareness that there's two like overarching legs of transformation. There's a lot of like healing, clearing. There's the past oriented stuff, what you're talking about coming mm-hmm. from your lineage and becoming present to that, integrating that, or, you know, clearing a lot of it. And then there's that transformation, expansion, expression, right? And that we may really want to go into expansion and expression. So many of us like, I want to be better now, or I have this dream and I want to live it. And we are just we are tethered by what lives in that unconscious realm of the programs we've downloaded, the imprints, all of that, whatever's icky in there, and that we just haven't identified and held, and again, integrated into us or forgiven, or, you know, all of that, and studied it enough to understand we don't have to carry it on. We don't have to replicate it. Yeah. And that we can really find that organic voice by the impressions, the positive impressions we've now subjected ourselves to or involved ourselves in. And so I so appreciate that, because I also love saying, like, if you read 10 self-development books in a row, we're all saying the same thing in our own vernacular, right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because maybe that specific person said the specific thing that made it click, even though you've heard it 999 times. And so, so special to be able to integrate and reintegrate, because I think what shows up in our field is the medicine we need. And so what's showing up in your field is the medicine that you need. And then what's showing up in mine is looks different, feels different, lands different. And I just think it's so, all so special, but that each person stay open-minded, open ears, open heart, open chest, open body to, you know, the path that's unfolding before them. And that it's going to require some healing and it's going to allow that expression and expansion.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that you said, I just want to remind people this conceptually, since we're all just duplicates, the physical body is what's the duplicate.
Yeah.
And I, again, in this recent journey I had, I found that one of the big messages that came through to me is that I am freedom when I am my full expression of my soul. And when I am the full expression of my soul, that is also, then I am also connection. I'm connected to everything. And so the thought process that I wanted to share is that we come into a pre-programmed body. The body that we come into has information, it has ways of being, it has. As if you take a son and a father and a son and they're estranged at birth and they meet for the first time when the son is 20 years old, there's a good chance that son is going to have the same kind of gait or lean or maybe the same kind of speech patterns. And these two have never met yet they're the same. And so what we see is we literally come into these pre-programmed shells. And most of us, the reason we have such difficulty is we spend our entire life trying to get our unique expression of a soul to fit the body. Instead, when we realize that the body and the brain are meant to be able to change and expand, true freedom is found when we get the body to express the soul. And so it is just the ability to express what we're feeling, to express what we're thinking, to express who we are, whether it's something with sexuality or belief systems or whatever it may be. Like, this is just me in this current moment. And there's so much freedom that happens from that. And from that expression, we become more aware or capable of seeing and identifying the shit that's not us. So when we can sit back, you know, we do it so often with breath, with our breath work programs and with breathing in general, that we just witness the body breathing. Now take that concept. And once you become aware of your expression, and now I'm aware of who I am and I witness my body get triggered to something and I feel this anger or this whatever comes up inside of me. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And I do the same thing. I just watch it. And it's the reactions that aren't ours. The responses are, the response requires a pause, but the reaction is a pre-programmed thing. And so just being able to recognize the fact that the body will operate without our thinking about it. And if we start to watch it, we can see what's not us. Something like that.
It's just so much goodness. So it's very, it's awesome. And I know that you drop all these gems on social media too. So at the end, I want people to know where to find you, but also that there's such an undertone of embracing it. Like, I won't use the word acceptance, but the word that comes from you is like embrace and embodiment. Like, you've been, embodiment has been present through this whole conversation, but there's an embracing of our authentic expression of our soul. And I feel like, you know, puberty, that time of puberty where it's like you're going through growth spurts and you don't know, the weirdness of it all is like, like emotional puberty of like, realizing I'm not who I've been programmed to be. I don't resonate with the lineage. I don't, you know, like, that's not my whole truth. Like, we may get beautiful parts of our family lineage that we love, and but also parts that, you know, we don't and don't want to then continue. And so I think it's a lifetime of learning how to express ourselves. And I just think I can see how your coaching provides that and how you live that and embody that yourself and walk that walk so you can walk that walk with other people too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Before I forget, where can people find you online?
So on Instagram, my Instagram and my Facebook are basically the same. I post, but most of, if there's one that has most of my posts, it would be Instagram, and it's Meditation Junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E. One word, Meditation Junkie. Yeah. When I did it, got it. I couldn't believe it was still available, but there it was.
Heck yeah. That's
Meditation
great.
Junkie. Yeah.
We'll make sure that everything's linked, but that way, so people can jump in and find you and connect with you. And, I love asking these two questions of all my guests, which is, what have you had to let go of? What have you had to release in order to live your heart unleashed?
All the things I just talked about, releasing, coming to understand that I'm not my brain and I'm not my body. And I've had to release, I've had to examine, before releasing, we have to feel, we have to understand, we have to, everything starts with awareness and becoming aware of the most detrimental programs in my family tree, which were not feeling good enough, expression of emotion through anger and yelling, and victimhood. And so, and in actuality, you know, I've been coaching mostly on the side until the last year plus. I really have always had my coaching on the side because I was doing other things. And there's a number of probably fear, limiting beliefs and stuff that had held me back from really stepping into it as everything that it is becoming now. But in actuality, the victimhood discovery was just about a year and a half ago. There was just something going on in my life. I don't remember what it was. We were in the process of, we have another business that we're trying to revive now, but got completely annihilated during COVID. And, you know, I'm looking at myself and my finances were as low as they've been since I graduated college. Like suddenly I almost, you know, didn't have nothing. I had my retirement that I'd saved for years. And so, but I was questioning myself. I'm like, bro, like, where are you with finances? What's this? What is this limiting belief? There's some limiting belief that's holding you back. What is happening? And so I would speak out loud to that. Like I call in, I want to see what I'm missing. So let me see it. Yes. And it was actually in this conversation I started having with one of my sons, and it started to get a little heated. And then suddenly he took this to blaming myself and his mother for divorcing when he was young. And he's in his early 20s at the time. And maybe he was 20 and 21. And I was like, I just looked at him. I said, dude, stop being a fucking victim. Like, you are surrounded. You know, I went on to tell him, you're surrounded. Your mom's remarried and you have all these people that love you. And that situation doesn't exist. So the fact that you're using that to justify why you are having these difficulties doesn't work. But it was the statement, stop being a victim. And after that conversation was over, like I said, I believe God speaks through you, to you, and pay attention. I teach my clients, you know, the world is a reflection of you. One of the things I mean by that is just pay attention to the topics that are coming up in your life. Pay attention to the things that you say that have some different sense of energetic, emotional charge. And when I told him to stop being a victim, after our conversation ended up great and he left. And after he left, I ended up texting him messages and I told him, thank you. I'm like, I have been asking to find my limiting belief, and everything just resonated with the victim. And I started, then I took that, okay, where am I being a victim? Am I being a victim? How am I being a victim? And I started exploring all of that. And so letting go of victimhood maybe was one of the biggest things that I've let go of. Because it was the most elusive that took me the longest to find, and maybe might be more powerful than the ones that I thought were all of the issues I had before. And I allow that to let myself explore what is victimhood. And victimhood isn't just when people do shitty things to you. Victimhood to me is when you do a little bit of work and you just wait, and you wait to see if something happens, and you're waiting. Anytime you're waiting, even if it's for good things, like, why am I, like, I would find myself with coaching starting to pick up some momentum. So I stopped pushing to try to find people, just thinking, oh, here's the momentum I need. And then everything just kind of stays flat. And I'm like, that's victimhood, dude. You're being a victim. And it was in the collapsing of our company and the way we ended up shutting down our physical location and outsourcing and all these different things that I was kind of left to do a little bit on my own, because my business partner was dealing with some other things in his life. And it was an opportunity. I just explored it so much. And it was an opportunity to realize how I had the opportunity to feel like a victim in that sense, or to take a different approach to it. And I think I'm rambling or getting off topic here, but it was just in my discovery and letting go of that. That's one of my biggest ones, was victimhood and just how to explore it. And I think the biggest thing is to not take it personal. The biggest thing is, like, I am rough love with my clients. Like, I'm, oh, motherfucker, you're insecure. You know, I just call it out, but it's like, oh, look at this insecurity. Look at this, because it's matter of fact. It's just, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, dude, you are insecure. Look at that. Okay, let's fucking go after it. It's just saying that this is the way that the brain and body work that I currently reside in. Let's just call it what it is, because then we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're pointing at something that is so, you've embodied so much. Like you said, you don't think about how you walk, right? You just walk. Mm-hmm. You've memorized living in the inquiry. You totally embody living in an inquiry. And I think that the greatest prayer we can pray sometimes is, God, spirit, universe, please show me. Please show me what I'm missing. Please show me what I'm overlooking. Please show me what I'm avoiding or glossing over or bypassing, right? Because then it will become ever so evident that you may have not wished you asked to say it, but that so many people, when we're not living in the inquiry, we're living in such a fast paced, distracted, overwhelmed lifestyle that we couldn't possibly see what is being shown to us. Because like you said, I could not agree more that the universe, our life is a mirror, and that we are constantly being given the keys to access our peace and our serenity and our balance and our regulation and our success and ultimate success and whatever that means for us, but that we're asking and then not listening. We're asking and then not receiving, right? Mm-hmm. Our ask is an ask of frustration rather than an ask of complaint rather than a true ask of curiosity and genuine interest in knowing the answer and finding that window, that portal to our breakthrough. So absolutely. You're living it, dude. Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would caveat, ask out loud to be shown what you're missing with ease. Because sometimes that shit comes rough. And recent journey, my intention I set was, show me everything that I'm ready to receive. And it was painful. It was so painful. And it was so, so hard. And but it was everything. And so now I say, ask, show me, you know, so show me what I'm missing, delicately, please.
I
as delicately agree. As possible.
I agree. I never have said this out loud. I've concluded it before, but I prayed a prayer. I was repeating this excerpt. I wish I could remember in the moment, because I actually just said it this morning, which is funny, but for like 30 or 40 days in 2016, I was saying this prayer, and it was I wanted to grow in my business that I was launching. I wanted to grow in my career. I wanted to grow in my relationship. And I prayed this prayer, and within 30, 40 days, I was divorced. I was broken up with, right? And I didn't know that to go forth into the direction I'd be going, that the person I was with wasn't coming with me. Like, I would not have equated that. I planned on that person coming with, and then he just stepped off the stage, or he just, you know, stepped out of the moving vehicle. And it's like, I didn't anticipate that. I didn't predict that. I didn't desire that. And God, spirit, universe will show us very clearly what's coming. And I didn't, that sent me into the roughest year and a half, 2 years of my life. And it wasn't something I would have picked, but it was a whop upside the head of like, okay, I will take you to your fullest fulfilled expression and destiny. And there's going to be things that fall off on the way. And I've had to, you know, realize that along the way. And so luckily I've been able to bounce back well enough and build that inner ability of resilience and to process and all of that. And, but man, I probably wouldn't have picked it to go that way.
And I think it's important for us to remember that we attract that which matches us. And so when we heal things, if those things were the similarity that attracted us to some event or some place, that thing is now, if we attract what matches us, then we have to repel what doesn't. And that's where attachment binds us. That's why being attached to people, places, events, and things is so detrimental, because it can keep us from everything that we're looking to achieve. And to realize that, we talk about, people think about judgment as judgment is this thing where it's a bad, I'm judging you in a negative way, but saying that something is good is a judgment too. Yes. And it's an opinion. And most of the hardest things in my life that I said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my life, are now the most beautiful thing that I needed to become who I am today. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And if you can just have a knowing that you will attract what matches you and that which doesn't repels, then you can find gratitude when things slip away, even if it feels painful. Yeah. You can just have a knowing.
Amen to that. And thank you. I'm loving this conversation. And last question I have for you for today is, what does it look like at this day, at this age, for Greg's heart to be unleashed?
Dude, I'm 48. I just turned 48 and I'm still just now starting to be a full expression of myself. My heart unleashed is living a life of service and helping people expand in a variety of spaces. I just started leading breathwork and meditation at a veteran. I'm a Marine Corps vet and at a veterans only rehab and mental health space. And so I'm actually putting my time and energy into that whole arena outside of just the veterans as well. So there's that, serving that side, which is expansive, so expansive, because my clients come to me on purpose. These clients are in a group being told where to go. And it's a different level of receivership, what they get from me. And so it requires me to grow in how I show up and to take new perspectives into understand new perspectives, allow people to not resonate with me. Because they didn't hire me. So there's branching off into all these things eventually through big ticket sales and coaching executives and different things like that will enable me to coach children who can't pay for coaches, and to be involved in spaces and expanding youth and youth of color, especially. Because I think that's one of my jobs as a white man, is to bring everything that I have to anybody who's underprivileged or hasn't had the opportunity to receive what I've received. So expanding in all of the areas that I coach, I've just started recording. I've been making my own music for our breath work and meditations for some time. So you'll see a full expression on an album of for breath work, because hand pans are my jam. And I make beats on Ableton. And so I'm just learning how to live loop and all kinds of different aspects of recording. So the full expression of me is just ever expanding and just learning to actually express myself to my fullest and notice when I'm afraid. I said one of the biggest things I notice is there's times when I'm around people who maybe have a name, and I've found myself getting small or retracting or becoming timid around these people in comparison. And so to be my full expression, regardless of who I'm speaking to, with comfort.
Yeah.
That's the goal. So it's still a little wavery sometimes, but the practice, we're good at what we practice. So I just keep fucking practicing that and, you know, more and more each day.
Loud and clear on that one. And it's an ever evolutionary journey, that's for sure. And there's a few things I want to say. One, thank you for your service to this country, but also thank you for your service to humanity, right? Like in the ways that you serve and show up in your fullest expression. So thank you for that. And thank you for your service to this community, the Hearts Unleashed community. And, you know, I can't believe I didn't share it in the beginning, but we're two Hoosier transplants and hanging out in California.
Here's the synchronicity of it, is we've been planning to meet and planning to meet. I didn't even know we were back in town. And then I'm walking with Sarah on the beach and we just look up and we're like 100 feet away from each other. So automatically recognized each other. It's like, wow, how beautiful.
And you know, it's so fascinating too, because like it wasn't very characteristic of me. I'm usually kind of like just like walking. I'm on my way to where I'm going, and I looked out at the ocean to appreciate it, and you were like standing right in the line of sight, and I'm just like, what? I knew.
Yeah, and it was perfect that it had to be, and it could only happen with the absolute perfect timing that we decided to go on a walk on the beach at sunset that day, that's the beach of all of them that we chose, that it was that perfect timing to meet. But I mean, that's just the kind of, I think that's the thing to listeners too, is let the synchronicities be magic. Just allow yourself to pause and say, when you think of somebody and they call you, just out loud, literally say, thank you. Tell God, tell the universe, tell life that you see the magic and that you're open to see more. And the more that you see it, and the more that you acknowledge it, the more that you see it, and the more you acknowledge it, and the more you see it. And it becomes it becomes undeniable.
Sure does. And it is undeniable. And I have it that this conversation will be that synchronicity for a lot of our listeners, the thing they needed to hear, the person they needed to hear it from. So I want to just thank you again for being here with us today. And you guys, again, everything will be in the show notes to be able to connect with Greg. And thank you for sharing your Unleashed Heart with us.
Thanks for sharing the space and the time and giving me the ability to further be a step into my expression. I greatly appreciate it.
Beautiful. Listeners, we are turning dreamers into doers. So I hope you feel inspired to step into your expression and, you know, just take the leap or take the next step on your dreams, on your passion, on what your heart has to say and what you came here to do and who you came here to be. We love you. Thank you for tuning into the Hearts Unleashed podcast, where we are turning dreamers into doers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Hearts Unleashed podcast. We hope you found all the inspiration that you needed today and that you use it to take the next inspired action on your dreams. If you love the show, share it with a friend. We love spreading the love. For more information, to listen to more episodes, or to shop Hearts Unleashed, visit us at heartsunleashed.com. See you next time, hearts.